Welcome to Crossway this morning. Welcome to those of you who are online this morning. Hey, in the book of James, it's James himself who gives us some instruction on when we ought to pray. And it comes in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. Let me read it for you. It should come up on the screen there for you. I think the guys, here we go. James 5, 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Then pray. Is anyone happy? Then let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So James here is highlighting that there is an invitation to pray connected to any situation that we are going through, that we are facing in our lives. And he highlights three distinct times that we ought to pray. When we're in trouble, when we are happy, and when we are sick. And so what he's recognizing here is that life is full, the whole gamut of emotions and experiences. Life is made up of triumph and tragedy. It's made up of sorrow and joy, and it's made up of wellness and sickness. And you never know what's going to be around the corner. But what we can be confident in is this, that God's around the corner. God is there with us, not just around the corner, he's with us, ready to engage us in prayer, whatever it is that we are facing off with in our lives. Now, 2 weeks ago, you might remember I spoke about developing an appetite to pray. And we're on the back of our Engine Room series, weren't we? And that was a great series, reminding us of the power of prayer. How are you going? We talked about being devoted to prayer. Have you found your devotion to prayer growing over the last 2 weeks? How's that appetite in you? Have you found yourself praying more, here, there, and everywhere? Have you embedded that intentional, spiritual, prayerful discipline into your daily walk? So I know many of you were touched a couple of weeks ago. I've had that many people come to me, emails, texts, comments, from that message and any other message I've ever preached at Crossway in my 3 years here. I kid you not, that one has hit a spot with so many of you. So I've got no doubt God was doing something a couple of weeks ago, and many of you felt the conviction of the heart in this devotion to pray and being challenged to step in to that discipline of prayer. How are you going with that? How's that appetite? How's that hunger to pray? What about 24/7? It starts tomorrow. Corporately, we're calling all of us, the whole church, to pray. Let's saturate our church in prayer 24/7, every hour of the week, where we turn our prayer room into a throne room. Have you booked a spot yet? A 30-minute spot, a one-hour spot. It's not hard. Come on, have you done that yet? Get on the website. Book your spot and let's saturate the church and our surrounds in prayer. Let's saturate that throne room in prayer, and we'll see what God has in store for us over these next 6 weeks. Really looking forward to that, 24/7. Do you want to encounter God? No, I do. When you want to encounter God, it will more than often happen through prayer. Why? Because prayer changes things. Prayer brings transformation to our lives. Prayer brings breakthrough. Prayer will bring you joy. Prayer brings the impartation of gifts. Prayer brings empowerment, and prayer brings you closer to the heart of God, and it will grow you in your intimacy, in your vibrant, spirit-filled relationship with Jesus. So what does James say? Is anyone among you in trouble? Then pray. So the word James uses here refers to suffering of any kind. So that might include anxiety, it might include disappointment, it might include grief, persecution. Remember, there was a moment in my family's life with my older brother. It was a tragic circumstance. He lost his teenage daughter, 15-year-old, my beautiful niece Brittany, all of a sudden died through complications with her diabetes. Never saw it coming, no warning. Passed away, just like that. And we were just totally floored. The grief was unimaginable for our family, but particularly for my brother. How do you endure something like that? And I'll tell you what, my family, my brother in particular, would have been absolutely lost without his faith. I don't know how people face off with situations like that without faith. But he would have been lost without his faith. And prayer was his remedy. Prayer was exactly what he needed to help him endure and work his way through this intense amount of grief that he was experiencing. And he was explaining to me one day where he was crying out to God in this season of grief that he was going through, didn't know what to pray, how to pray, and he was literally yelling out to God, groaning and groaning, not making any sense whatsoever to you or I. But in that moment, he said God incredibly came to him in his time of need, took him by the hand and helped him through his grief. And it was this verse that became very real to him from Romans 8, 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That was my brother's experience. The Spirit of God came to my brother in his time of need as he was groaning. It was the Holy Spirit groaning on his behalf, interceding for him to his Father in heaven. And it was a powerful, powerful moment in his life. And that season of grief he was able to endure, come out the other side, because God was with him. And he had prayer as his remedy. And he'll do the same for you. He will come to you in your time of need. When we come before him in all humility, when we come before him in absolute dependence upon him, handing your situation, handing your trouble over to him, rendering yourself helpless and useless in its experience, knowing that you can't do this by yourself. God, I need you. God, help me. He will come. He will help you. He is there. And we can stand on that promise. Are you in trouble? Are you in trouble? Those of you online, are you in trouble? Let them pray. What does James then go on to say? He says, pray when you're happy. Those of you who are happy, anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praises. Now, some of you are in a happy season right now. Some of you are enjoying success. And that's okay. You shouldn't begrudge that. We go through seasons of success and that's all good. We walk around, when we're going through a season of success and we're happy, what tends to happen is we walk around with a bit of a spring in our step, don't we? We're happy, we're smiling, we're telling stories, we're joking with people, we're fun to be around. You're looking for others to be around you. You're optimistic and you're less inclined to whinge. You're less inclined to complain about other people, aren't you, when you're happy? And you see life as a gift. And the giver of that gift, our God in heaven. So James is reminding us here that when you are happy, don't forget to include God in your emotion of happiness. Connect him to the great things that he's given you. Connect him to the things that you are experiencing, rather than taking them for granted, rather than thinking that you're owed that success or you've somehow garnered it for yourself and you deserve it. That comes from God. And so we glorify him first and foremost before we go anywhere else. We sing songs of praises. And we're offered that opportunity every single day. You can sing songs of praises to God in the hallway of your home. You can sing songs of praise in the shower. Who sings in the shower? Come on. Who sings in the shower? Whose spouse sings in the shower? Yeah, not very well, are they? Sometimes it doesn't sound great. But it's okay, because when you are happy, you'll find yourself singing in the shower. That's fine. It's fun to sing in the shower when no one can really hear you that well. That's what will happen. You can sing praises in the shower. You can sing them in your car. You can sing them down the street. You can sing your praises anywhere. But collectively, corporately, we are invited into that space every single weekend, aren't we? It's one of the beautiful things about being part of a church community. We get to hear each other. We get to sing with each other. Don't worry about the person next to you who's singing out of tune, because you're probably singing out of tune too. It's okay. You're in it together. And it's not about whether you're in tune or not. It's about whether we're in tune with our Father in heaven. That's what's important. And your passion will be infectious with the person next to you, regardless of how you sound. We put the gifted singers up here. That's what they're supposed to do. If they're out of tune, then we're in trouble. But it's okay. We just sing. We sing our praises, and we do that every single week that we come together. It's a beautiful part of being church. But sometimes, if I'm honest, sometimes I don't know if we really honour that time that we're given every week, because many of us come in during song 2, 3, 4 and pretty much miss the whole block of worship. And we miss that opportunity to sing our praises to God. Sometimes, and I'll put my hand up here, sometimes we can sing like we're stuck in our troubles. Sometimes we sing like we're stuck in apathy and we just go through the motions. Instead of allowing that joy within us to be an outward expression to our great God. Now, look, I need to talk about this. I was at the football last night, okay? at the MCG. Anyone go to the football last night at the MCG? Oh, what a game. Are you a Richmond supporter? Bad luck. Okay. We haven't beaten Richmond for 9 years. It was the longest streak in the AFL of Essendon losing to Richmond. 13 in a row. We haven't beaten them since 2014. So, look, I better just camp that there for a moment. I could talk about it for quite some time. I had a great night last night in my chaplaincy role. That's why I was there, obviously, with the Bombers. And but the thing that always strikes me at the football, it was again there last night, 80,000 people at this Dreamtime game. It's when the song comes on. When the teams run through the banner and the theme song comes on, you've got 80,000 people all around the MCG shouting out their theme song. They believe in their team. They believe in their club. Even before the ball has been bounced, they're already behind them with great passion, as much passion as what you'll see anywhere. And then it continues post-game. Last night, thankfully, it was our theme song at last. And the Bombers' theme song rang out last night. And so the crowd were up and about singing even more raucously than what they were earlier and louder. And then it's over to the players. They come into the rooms. They sing their out-of-tune version of the theme song in the rooms, which is not great to listen to. But it's still fun. And they're singing it like it's the most important thing they've ever done. Like they've just achieved something, they've achieved the improbable, and they're a step closer to premiership glory. It means so much to them. How much more should it mean to us as Jesus fans, as Jesus followers, to be singing out and belting out our spiritual themes every single day and week in church together? We ought to be singing it much more. We've got more passion in us, surely, than what those football supporters have got. And we've got something that lasts that we're actually celebrating. Not just a win for the here and now, because they'll probably lose next week and they'll be back like a funeral again for them. But we keep celebrating. We've got eternity ahead of us with our great God in heaven. We have Jesus with us, the Holy Spirit in us that lives in us every single day. We have so much to celebrate and be thankful for. We applaud our great God. We're grateful for Jesus. We celebrate him in our life. Let's belt out those spiritual theme songs. And in many ways, this encounter service is inviting us to do exactly that as we go into a lengthier block of worship in a short period of time. And again, I put my hand up here. There are times in my worshiping life, I just need to get over myself. I need to get over my inhibitions. I need to loosen some of my traditions in terms of perhaps how I've worshipped at different times in my life and just really sing out and praise God for who he is, reflecting the joy of living with a Saviour. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praises. Now, it's hard to be happy when you're sick. It really is. When you're sick, you don't feel like joking. You don't feel like being happy, do you? And the sickness, unfortunately, in this fallen world that we live in, is a part of our lives. Broken limbs, aches and pains, ailments, cancer diagnosis, they are a part of life for so many. And in James there, he says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, James here is referring to someone who is incapacitated physically. In Scripture, oil was both a medicine and a symbol of God's presence, the Spirit of God. And so meaning the oil can represent the medical and the spiritual aspects of our lives, reminding us that the Lord God is his Lord over both the body and the spirit. You know, I remember a number of years ago when I went upstairs to say goodnight to my oldest daughter, the then very young Hannah. Went up to say goodnight and to say a little prayer with her. To my great surprise, she was doubled over in pain with an excruciating pain in her stomach. Saying, Dad, I can't get to sleep. I've got this pain that won't go away. And it's really, really hurting me. Of course, I, as a parent, went into parent protective mode. Oh, no wonder if she might have appendicitis. What am I going to do? Do I rush her to hospital? Do I call a doctor? But then I felt convicted to pray in that moment. And the verse from James 5:15 came to me. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And so instead of working out what I could do in a situation to fix it, I prayed. And I stood on that promise. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. I stood on that promise and in Jesus' name prayed for her, prayed that that ailment would be removed from her, that healing would come to her in this moment in Jesus' name. And immediately healing came. It was quite incredible. And my Hannah never has been prone to embellishment or exaggeration. She's a straight shooter, always have been from a young age even to today. And she said to me, Dad, the pain is gone. It genuinely has gone. And she went to, we thank God, and she went to sleep. The pain never returned. And for Hannah, that's been one of those little anchor points. You know how you have those anchor points in life where you look back on where sort of like God showed up and did something remarkable in your life, reminding you of his power and reminding you of his fingerprints all over your life? That's one of her anchor points, even to today. This moment where she was healed. Now look, to be honest, I've prayed for other kids in my family who haven't been healed in that moment. Or may have been healed 3, 4, 5 days later. Or maybe it was absolutely medicine they needed. Only needed a couple of days in bed. That is a fact. See, not everyone we pray for will be healed in the moment. Not everyone that we anoint with oil will be healed. There is mystery in that. We don't understand why God heals some and not others. Only God can explain that. That is the unexplainable when it comes to faith. But that ought not stop us from crying out to God in prayer, asking him for healing. Should never stop us. No situation is beyond God. He is the great physician who will confound even the medical fraternity at times. How many testimonies have we heard? I've heard plenty of them, where people with broken limbs or a nasty diagnosis 1 week had incredible amounts of prayer prayed over them. They've gone back and the scans were clear and the doctors are dumbfounded. They can't explain it. And you can explain it. Why? Because you were prayed for. That's the explanation. It happens time and time again with people. No situation is beyond God. Now, healing may not always come in the form that we desire. Physically, the ailment may remain. The diagnosis may remain. But God's healing reaches beyond the physical and into the deepest spiritual realms of our life. See, your miraculous healing might be the joy that he gives you in your suffering. A joy that the world can't give you in your suffering, but Jesus will give you in your suffering. That might be your miraculous healing. Or your miraculous healing might be the peace that he gives you over your predicament. That is a gift. Your miraculous gift of healing might be the strength that he gives you to endure whatever it is you're going through. Or your gift may be that God uses your situation to bless someone else and leads them to faith in Jesus. See, God's ways are greater than ours. We don't always get them. We don't always see them. Sometimes we rush ahead of him. But his ways are greater than ours, and his eternal perspective, much different to our temporal perspective that sometimes we get stuck in. F.B. Meyer says this quite profoundly, that the greatest tragedy is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Is any one of you sick? Then call the spiritual leaders of the church to pray over you. Receive prayer. Receive the anointing. And there'll be a chance to do that in just a little while. You see, whatever situation you're facing in life, prayer is the remedy. Prayer is the answer. Prayer changes things. It also is the means to a more vibrant, passionate relationship, intimate relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. And so there are many reasons that we pray. There are many reasons why we're called to pray, why we ought to pray. And James highlights 3 key ones here in our passage today. And that little encounter leaflet you've got with you now, that you were handed as you came through the door, that also helps us to engage responsively to that very call. Now, if you didn't receive one of these as you came in, just place your hand up because our welcome team are at the back ready to hand them out. Just place your hand in the air. They'll come down the aisles and give you one of these encounter leaflets. There's a few hands up, teams. Just have a look around and come and place those in the hands. And as you look at that encounter card, you turn it over, you can see there's a few categories there. And I wonder what it is today that you are thankful for. What are you grateful to God for in your life? Or glorify. What are the descriptors that you would use to glorify God in your life right now? How do you feel about God? Ask, who are you interceding for right now? Who's your heart aching for right now? A neighbor, a work colleague, a family friend, whoever it might be, who are you aching for right now? Who's God placing on your heart to pray for? And then there's breakthrough. What about you personally? You personally, where's breakthrough needed in your life? It might be a relational breakthrough, a financial breakthrough, a breakthrough with an addiction that's got a hold of you. Where's the breakthrough that's needed in your life? And as you hold that before you now, maybe just don't quite go to writing responses yet. You may have started already, that's okay. But just hold off from responding with your pens. Let's just prayerfully hold it for a moment. in the palms of our hands and see what God has to say about those things. And we're reminded in Psalm 116, 1-2, I love the Lord because he hears and answers my prayers. Because he bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I have breath. I will pray as long as I have breath. As I look across this auditorium this morning, as I look down the barrel of that camera, I see breath. I see that we all have breath. So how about we come before him in prayer? And how about we stand on that promise right now? These prayers that you're writing to God from your heart, stand on the promise that he hears you. He will answer you. He's listening. I will pray as long as I have breath. So I can invite you into a prayerful space. Now let's close our eyes. For those of you online, please join us. And you've got your card there online that you can refer to. Come into a time of just waiting on God. What's he filling your heart with right now? What are you thankful for in your life? Have you got a grateful heart? What specific things are you grateful for? God asks that you would speak into each of our hearts in this space. Even surprise us, if you will. How is it you're glorifying God today? What are those descriptors that you would use to glorify your great God, your Creator, your Father in heaven? What of those descriptors are bubbling up in you right now, bringing him praise? All that glory that's due to him. And what about that intercession? Who's God placing on your heart right now? Is it a friend? Is it a work colleague? Is it a neighbor? Is it that stranger that you walk past every day? Is it a family member? Where's your heart aching? Who are you aching for today? God, place that person or those persons on our heart. We might be bold enough to reach out and intercede for them. Asking that you might touch them afresh. And for that breakthrough, for each of us individually, what is the breakthrough that you yearn for in your life? That stumbling block, that hurdle that you keep tripping over, where you feel like triumph is just out of arm's reach. Asking God to break it down and to break through. What might that be in your life? Holy Spirit, come. Breathe on us. Move in us and through us. Speak to us. We're listening. And we want to offer these prayers to you. Amen. Hey, as you continue with your sheets, feel free to get your pens out now. You may have started this already. And just start responding. What is it God's been filling your heart with in those three or four categories? Look, there might just be one category where you feel like God's doing a real number on you right now. And you just want to sit and camp in that space. That's okay. Don't feel like you have to move through all four of them. Just go to the place where you sense God is moving you to. So start filling those out. Moment's time, we're going to start worshiping together, and Sarah will come up on stage shortly and she'll invite you forward to lay these down in the appropriate spaces as an offering before our Lord. So we'll do that shortly. Also, while we're praising God together. If you sense that God gives you a prophetic word for the church, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, can I invite you down to the front here, and Pastor Scott, our prayer pastor, where he is right here, we right next to me, come down and whisper that to him. And we'll discern whether that's something we can share with the wider church. We want to receive that from you. We want to give you that freedom, that space to come and give that word, and we'll receive it from you during this time of worship. Thank you, Tony.